This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Prime time on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today, from this moment on, is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up?
Feeling good? I'm in full-blown Christmas mode. This may be the earliest that I've ever gone full Christmas, and I don't care. That other day when we were talking about the Christmas carols, I've been listening and singing Christmas carols nonstop.
That's great.
I'm walking around the store, spreading Christmas joy, walking the dog. Had an older couple today say that they appreciated it. I'm dropping a we're wishing you a Merry Christmas as I'm walking around. I'm singing it in the showers. And you know what? I'm full of Santa joy right now. Feeling good. Let's do it. This is way too early for me, and I don't care.
Did you order a onesie?
No, I did catch a lot of heat, though, yesterday for the pajama thing.
Did they hear the seggy?
Yeah, they heard the segment. Catching a lot of heat. Because we rent a house, and I got we kind of do like a hodgepodge Thanksgiving and a hodgepodge Christmas in my house, where we just, people that don't have a place to go, like they, you know, they come around. So we got a couple of my buddies that go up, too, with us to Christmas. And so the threat is now that they are going to get onesies as well and replace me in the family photo. And I'm like,
you'll be the outcast.
Yeah, be my guest.
That's exactly what you want.
Yeah, be my guest. Like, nice threat.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I got a lot. Got a lot of pushback yesterday.
That doesn't threaten you.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you want.
In fact, that makes you lean in more.
That's right.
Well, you know, I need to gauge how important this is. I'll take it up to the wire, but, you know.
A little given you.
Yeah, it might be a little given. Well, again, I'm in the holiday spirit. I'm full. It's early. I got a long way to go to Christmas. And the fact that it's what, the 15th of November, and I'm already wishing you a merry little Christmas, and we need a little Christmas right now, and I'm celebrating the first Noel. I may. Not likely, but I may. Much like I apologize to UCLA fan, I may end up wearing a onesie. I doubt it, though. I doubt it.
Yeah, I bet you won't.
Yeah, probably not.
But that is awful early. I mean, you know, we're not even to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I've moved past Thanksgiving at this point.
I was thinking Thanksgiving's next week. It's not.
No. No, like you got two weeks. Yeah. Dude, I could have a tree up by this week. Just give it time. I was in the hot tub last night with a cigar and buble going. And an old-fashioned
Buble Christmas, man. It's a good one.
Boy, it's feeling good. Buble's got me all tingly, and then I went over to the Celtic Women after that, and then it was just back and forth, was feeling it. I may have been a little tipsy, you know, but hey, let's do it. Let's
holiday cheer, they call it.
Yeah, it is holiday cheer right now. I may get some nog this weekend. Who knows? The pages of my story are unwritten. Also this, I got a lot of feedback on the Christmas pajama thing, because I had some buddies that were like, yeah, you know, we're
Christmas. What we were talking about, just in case people weren't listening yesterday, which shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about families that get matching Christmas jammies.
Yes.
Like the Buckleys.
Yeah, the Buckley family.
And while Buckley embraced the jammies, and by the way, adorable family photo. But if you notice that Buck did something, and then I asked Dusty, who clearly is a PJ family, and he did the same thing. We'll ask Joey today. I guarantee Joey's a PJ family. You can just tell. I had several friends that reached out about the Christmas pajama thing, and every one of them say they're a pajama family, but then there's always a qualifier. Always. They will never admit to liking the PJs. They'll never admit to it being their idea. They always pass the buck to the wife.
Yeah. Well, I think for the most part, it is not the husband's idea.
No, that's right.
But here's
it's
my
always
thing.
The wife.
But doesn't it say something about the practice that every one of you has to qualify? Like, yeah, I do it, but it's not really my thing. And yet you do it. You know.
Well, that's what we do as men, right?
Well, yeah, you just you go along.
You can't fight every battle. What the hell?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you got to do
things.
And
when it's something harmless and festive, you say,
right.
Okay.
Yeah. That's right.
I may be fighting this battle. We'll see. We'll see.
Well, for me, it feels performative.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't like about it.
We're on the same page.
It's like, okay, that's cool. Mm-hmm. And I don't have anything against it. It's just, I feel like you're trying to
thank you
present something when the reality is you don't need to present anything. You just need to spend quality time with your family.
You're making my argument. You're speaking to me right now.
There's no reason to do bits.
No.
To show that you are having a quality family Christmas morning. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Spend time with your kids. Have a joyful morning.
There you go.
You don't need to. You need to wear something to do that.
Thank you.
That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I don't, and this was we got into it yesterday. I don't like performative pieces.
I think women think dressing up together is fun. It's why they do it for groups at concerts and school dances and things like that. Like, women like to dress up in groups for fun. Yeah. It's a fun thing.
Yeah. My gal's a big fan of, she's always trying to get us matching things, and I just refuse. She wants us to have matching shoes.
No.
Yeah, like anytime if I buy a pair of Stan Smiths, she'd be like, oh, well, I'll go buy those and then we'll be matchies. And I'm like, no, we're not doing samesies. I'm drawing a line, BTJ. There's no samesies here. It's not happening.
I'll back you on that one.
Yeah.
I don't want to match my spouse.
Yeah, what are we doing? Like, oh, she'd be like, you don't think it's adorable? First off, no, I don't. I think it's weird. We don't need to dress alike. Now, if you want to get a similar pair of shoes, be my guest, but we're not doing samesies. I refuse. She's always trying to pull that off. I don't know what that is. Somehow they think that that's like the pinnacle of fun and bonding. And I disagree. I think it's a weird, creepy 3-year-old twins maneuver. Like when parents dress the little boys all the same. But you know what? As they grow up, guess what they don't do when they're like 12? Hey, bro, let's wear the same thing. You've never once been going out with your buddies and like, hey, guys, here's what we're doing today. Yeah, black. All black denim. Matching Air Force Ones. What do you think? It's going to be badass.
One time I saw a big brother, little brother wearing customized Oakland A's jerseys together with their names on the back.
That's cute. Yeah. I think it's cute when little kids have the same outfits on.
Yeah, but these guys were like 16 and 14.
Yeah, that's not. No.
It
stops being cute. You know how you know when that part of your life is done? And I've always said this. It's a sad moment, but it's when you've officially grown up. When it's no longer socially acceptable or adorable to just be hanging out like in your underwear. Like Buck shows us photos of his little guy, Cannon, and he's always just running around in a pair of like underoos.
Yeah.
And it's adorable. These little boilers hanging out over. I just love that anytime there's a photo, he's just hanging out in his undies.
Well, the other thing too is he's still of the age where when he really has to go number one, he'll just drop them and go wherever now. Yeah. So we can be out at the park. We can be in a parking lot. We
and
can be at
fantastic.
School. It doesn't matter. And there'll be an age where it will matter. Yeah. But right now, not yet.
That's when that line gets crossed. Because if I'm just like, hey, dude, check this out. And I show you a photo and it's just me and my whitey tidies in the living room. That's a crime.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. Like, I can't just be hanging out in my front yard in some Spider-Man underoos and be like, yeah, look at Sook. No, doesn't work. And I think that's when samesies ends. That's when it's just, okay, we've reached the point. We no longer can just frolic in our underwear and samesies is over. It's done.
Well, if you're dressing yourself and you've got a twin
and
you guys dress alike or gals, that's fine. That's what you want to do because you're dressing yourself. Right?
Yeah.
That's cool. But most of them don't.
No. No one does.
I had twins as friends in high school.
Yeah.
And they never dressed alike.
No.
They hated looking alike.
Exactly.
And they fought like cats and dogs. It's crazy.
This guy says, I hang out my boxers all the time at home. And what does he say right after that? My wife hates it. Exactly. You know what she doesn't hate? If you got like a little kid, like little Buckley running around in his underoos. It's adorable.
But what does his wife want?
My guess is not for him to be a fat dork.
Or like pants, not underwear.
Well, why do you call him fat? Maybe he looks like Brad Pitt.
Well, my guess is if that was the case, that she would like
him. She would not complain about him playing around in his boxers.
Ah, double standard.
There really is. But it's
the way of the world sometimes.
It is the way of the world. We all know that female nudity trumps male nudity. It just does. Every time. If I walk out to the mailbox in a pair of underwear and nothing else, again, you're committing a crime. If my lady does it, she just set the neighborhood abuzz, and everyone's like, well, I got to watch the Satanic House or what's going on at the mailbox. Two totally different scenarios.
Yeah, when I walk out to the mailbox, oftentimes I'm wearing something that, you know, it's
it's borderline.
Yeah.
We've all done it.
But I just assume that nobody sees me.
Or that anyone who passes by me just won't care.
Just don't, or they don't even look.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if you look close, it's like, ooh.
Yeah. Well, there was I want to say it was last year. We have one big bay window in the front of the house, and I was home alone, and I don't remember what happened. I spilled something or something on the floor, and I had to vacuum it. And I was happened to be changing, so I was not wearing clothing. I didn't think anything about it, and I was like, oh, I'll just vacuum it. So I was vacuuming, and I was all naturel. And I looked up, and two of the olds were, you know, and first off, that's on.
You were jump-starting your OnlyFans, cleaning in the buff.
I thought it was a little creepy that they were doing some staring. Like, I get it, like, maybe
people. But they thought you were doing an exhibition in front of your window.
And then I was like, ah, damn it, I'm going to hear about that one. That's good. Granted, I was in my house, but the blinds were, I should have been more aware of that sort of situation.
Yeah.
I should have taken a better,
people do look.
Yeah.
I know
look.
I do.
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
I'm always peeking in.
But don't you just peek and keep walking?
Yes. You can't look.
They stopped and were.
Yeah. You got to be careful.
They thought you were putting on a show, man.
You certainly have to at night, because I walk Molly at night. My wife refuses.
Yeah.
So I'm out there walking. Yeah, and, if your curtains and blinds are up, I'm taking a peek. Oh, but 100%. I got to make sure it looks like I'm not.
Yeah. If you do see something that's cool, again, it's like the sun. You don't stare at it. You just kind of... You know.
I think I've started, in my head, I've started a new bit where I think I'm going to start doing my short mailbox walk with a lot of pomp and circumstance.
Really?
I'm going to do bits with it.
Okay.
You know, maybe like a feather boa, hat or something, and get some hype men behind me and like make it a big deal.
You know what you need?
Do like a ring entrance, like you'll see tonight between Paul Tyson.
We talked about it
every day.
Because Buckley can provide you, what you need is you need a cloak.
A
veil cloak.
Come out in a cloak.
Maybe a top hat full of glitter. You know, really spice it up.
I just picture a strut and a spin move. People come from all around to see me.
You basically have your own runway show at this point.
Yeah.
You have that Randy Macho Man music. Dun, 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 dun. You know, really.
Music,
big production.
Get my mail every day.
I love it. I love it. It'd become your calling card in the neighborhood.
That's right. Yeah. Well, maybe I won't do that. Well, we do have Joey Harrington today. We are going to ask him if he is a family of matching pajamas, Christmas pajamas.
You know he is.
They sure seem like it. Yeah. But, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Find out. You have to tune in to find out.
Be a bit of an upset. I'll bet you. I was thinking about it too, because Buckley clearly would be the number one pick. Dusty, you know Schultzy, even though they don't have kids, I guarantee you that Schultzy and his wife dress up. And there's no, it's just the two of them, but I guarantee they wear PJs.
And maybe they're a little, don't they have a little cat named Ichiro or something?
If there's
like that?
A cat, the cat's wearing
really?
PJs too.
I think they have a pet named Ichiro. I think it's a cat.
He invites us to his holiday party, and in the email, it's like the Schultzy family spooktacular. The fact that he calls it the spooktacular, and like it's like from 7 p.m. to when the zombies go home, no one's more festive than the Schultzes. Guaranteed there's new Christmas PJs every year, including the cat.
Well, that's cute.
It's cute.
All right, let's get started. You guys ready to get started with the show?
Yeah, let's go.
Got a big sports show?
Really big show.
Ducks are going to Wisconsin. The subject of the poll question, coming up next on The Fan. All right. Coming up, the Seahawks center, your boy, just retired.
Yeah.
Like right out of the blue.
Unexpectedly. This was the definition of what?
Yeah. We'll talk about that. Right now, poll question time on X at 1080 The Fan. Yesterday we asked you, who do you got? Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, or who gives a rip? And Mike Tyson won 47% Who gives a rip? 44%. Jake Paul getting just 9% of the vote.
I'm fascinated that so many people think that a 58, almost 59-year-old man is going to do something.
But, yeah. You know. Buck put it best. We were talking about this off the air. He's like, hey, look, anybody that saw Mike Tyson in his prime, they're going to bet on Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
And that is proven by the money coming in. I was reading a tweet from the Westgate Sportsbook, Superbook, that they have out there in Vegas.
Yeah.
And this is just one book, but they said 86% of the tickets are on Tyson, and 64% of the money is on Paul. And what that tells you is that all the small tickets, all the average Joes are betting Mike Tyson. All the big money, the sharps, the pros, the guys with the big dough, they're on Paul.
It's just hard. At 58, and again, people that just haven't watched him, I encourage you, go back and watch his last two fights from when 20 years ago and tell me if that at all looks like someone that can still fight. So I mean, we'll see. And also, it wouldn't shock me if there is, both of these guys are master.
They're here for the money.
They're here for the money, right? I mean, Jake Paul fights no one for a reason. He just keeps getting paid. And if he fought a real fighter, he'd get knocked out and that would be the end of it. It wouldn't shock me if there's a gentleman's agreement in this thing too, where like when Mike Tyson fought Roy Jones a couple years ago, there was a, hey, no one's trying to take anyone's head off here. It wouldn't shock me if this ends up being a weird hug fest. I mean, there are 2-minute rounds for God's sake. So I think what, 8 rounds? It wouldn't shock me if this thing is just a lot of hugs and like clinches. And
so they're teeing it up for a second one, you mean? Possibly a third, because then they would split the first two. And
you just get to the end of it. And Tyson gets to save face.
Yeah, but if the whole thing sucks, you're not going to get two more of them.
But Tyson slapped him last night. Did you see that?
And then Jake Paul yelled right back at him.
Yeah,
sure did. Got all high tea.
Yeah, they know how to. But that's the thing. And too, the fact that this is on Netflix.
Do you think that was set up?
Well, of course, because I think all of this has been set up. They can't sell any more pay-per-views, so it puts it on Netflix. It'll draw a big audience because you don't have to pay for it. And it is a spectacle. And look, for whatever reason, people care what Jake Paul does, and Mike Tyson is probably the most interesting fighter. Well, not probably. He's the most interesting fighter of my lifetime, even though his greatness is beyond exaggerated. He's not even the best fighter of his generation. And yet there's a whole group of people that really believe that Mike Tyson is like the greatest fighter of all time. Mike Tyson's like the third or fourth best fighter of his generation.
It's just from the badass highlight clips. It's just because of how physically mauling he was towards people, I think. And I think that's why people are betting on him now. These TikTok and Instagram feeds of him training, his training looks more impressive in 15-second bursts.
Well, again,
he just has an aura.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
Yeah, he just has the history.
And if this really is a real fight, which I kind of doubt, look, if Tyson hits him within a round or two before he's just gassed beyond belief, he can knock him out. I just think that Jake Paul's smart enough to know to just get on your bicycle for a couple rounds and wait for a 58-year-old man to get tired. You know, and there's a just find any other sport, any sport, and take a 58, almost 59-year-old man and put him in it, and what would we say about it? But somehow in boxing, we're like, oh.
Well, they've really captured something here with Tyson and his just his allure.
Yes.
And the new age kid and his allure.
Yeah.
Like they've really a lot of times they put these fights together and you're like, okay, I see where they're going, but I don't care.
Yeah.
This one,
even
though, you know, it may not be great and it's not even a real fight, whatever. All that aside, it's really getting people's attention because of they have found the two right guys to fight. Like it pits generations is what it does.
And everyone wants to see Jake Paul get his mouth shut.
Yes. And Mike Tyson is the perfect, if you've ever seen Mike Tyson in his prime, he's the perfect guy to go in and shut Jake Paul up.
Because if you had Jake Paul, so I'll take this generation, the Tyson generation, and if I said that he was fighting Razor Ruddock, or he was fighting Riddick Bowe, or he was fighting Lennox Lewis, and trust me, these are all real boxers, and some of them better than Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, or even someone, that was a lesser weight, Roy Jones. Roy Jones is 10 times the boxer than Mike Tyson ever was. It wouldn't it would be such a non thing. If I told you that any one of those people were fighting Jake Paul, everyone would be like, what? But you're right in that you put Mike Tyson and the name and the hangover and the baddest man on the planet and the insane clips and the, I'm going to eat your children and he's slapping people and he's got a GD face tattoo and all this crap. And all of a sudden you have the perfect storm of interest, but this is so far from a real sporting event. It's, this is like Jesse Owens racing a horse. It's just sad. It's not good. And this isn't fighting and it's just, it's there.
I saw someone online ask for it in NBA terms and they said, think about if it were Michael Jordan today playing against Dylan Brooks today. Because you have an antagonist who's not very good at the game against the all-time great legend who's just really freaking old now.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I brought up.
Like, well, I'd kind of like to see that, actually.
Well, I brought up the contact sport of the nature of Jerry Rice, who's the greatest of all time, who's, I think, 60. And if we had him play in a junior college game against people that'll never even play Division I football, Jerry Rice would get bent in half. He would die. It would be so sad out there. But you're like, oh, my God, that's Jerry Rice against a bunch of junior college kids. And you're like, yeah, but they're really good athletes. And they're probably sauced to the gills because it's junior college. And that's what you have in Jake Paul. Say what you will about him. He's a good athlete. He's roided up on everything known to man. And the kid can punch. So, you know, God forbid you're 58 and you get hit in the head. Evander Holyfield fought an MMA fighter a couple years ago when he was 58. Dude, the guy barely touched him and Evander Holyfield, like, fell through the ropes. Like, I really thought Evander Holyfield was going to have a stroke in the ring. He didn't even make it around. And it was really, really hard to watch. And I just hope that Mike gets taken care of. Whatever happens, who wins, whatever. They had to postpone the fight a couple months ago.
He had a medical episode on a plane.
Yeah, he had a bleeding ulcer. You know?
Not funny, but
right.
Kind of funny.
You just,
I don't know. I'll be watching. All right, here's today's poll question. At 1080 The Fan on X, which underdog pulls off the upset this weekend? Is it Wisconsin over Oregon?
No.
Is it Tennessee at Georgia?
That's a possibility.
Is it Utah at Colorado? Or is it Kansas at BYU?
I hate to do this because I don't want it to happen. The best bet there is Kansas.
I think that's the answer, too.
Well, it's the lowest spread of the four.
Kansas is not a bad football team, and if you take away dumb turnovers, Kansas's record is completely different, and they've stopped with the dumb turnovers, and I love my Cougs. The Cougs have a little Miami feel to them where they're a good team, they're not a great team, and they're playing with fire.
And they've gotten a lot of good bounces. I was listening to something recently, like they've recovered 70% of their own fumbles. Retzlaff has a lot more turnover-worthy throws than people have actually picked off, like guys dropping interceptions.
Oh, trust me, the Huck in Hebrew, as fun as he is to root for, BYU is not a great quarterback. In fact, like, Utah is a really good defense. Dude, they made BYU's offense look dreadful. If it wasn't for a punt return for a touchdown and then, you know, some penalties, BYU's not in that game. So that's the one. If you're taking who's going to get upset, the best bet is Kansas.
The winner right now on the poll is Utah beating Colorado.
Yeah.
Which I don't see it.
Well, Colorado, believe it or not, having watched Colorado a couple times this year, I swear to God, they're playing real defense. They're actually playing real defense.
Well, Utah doesn't have an offense.
They have none.
Aren't they all banged up?
Yeah, they're going back to the Wilson kid, Zach's brother.
Wait, did they go away from him?
Yeah, they went away from him.
With Cam Rising, but they went away from him again?
Yeah. Yeah.
With another guy?
Yeah, and then that guy's hurt, and I think the other guys, I mean, their offense is dreadful. And now their best offensive player, Keithy, who's their tight end, shocker, he's hurt again. He's the tight end version of Cam Rising. He's really good, though, but he's never healthy. Their offense is in shambles. I just don't think, honestly, that Utah can score enough points. It's a really good defense, but Colorado will score 21 at least, I would assume, and I just don't think Utah can score to keep up. So I actually think, believe it or not, I think Colorado's gonna probably play in the Big 12 title game. which is cool. A credit to Deion Sanders.
Well, that's cool because they're a interesting story. They're fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, ran through that bull junkie.
You got two of the best players in college football on that team.
Yes.
So I want them in the Big 12 title game. I'd like to see Colorado BYU. That's what I want to see.
It'd be fun.
And then I still think that Kansas State is really good in that league. So maybe Colorado, Kansas State. But we've already seen that one.
Yeah.
And I think K-State won that, if I'm not mistaken.
I do believe Kansas State won that game. I think that's one of Colorado's losses. They lost to Nebraska, and yeah, they lost to Kansas State, but it was a close game.
But still a lot of ball left. A lot of teams in the hunt there in the Big 12. So vote on our poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. Which underdog pulls off the upset? Wisconsin, Tennessee, Utah, or Kansas? Vote and vote hard. We will have a Wisconsin-Oregon seggy coming up. But up next, the Seahawks get a little bad news today.
Weird news, too.
Here's Buck.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are doing football. Coming up next, the ways we're already paying for college athletes. But Seahawks got some big news today.
Yeah.
I see here where their center, Connor Williams, started every game for him, only 27, retired.
Yeah, this is...
right out of the blue.
This is bizarre. So he was ruled out of practice the last handful of days due to personal reasons, and they said this has nothing to do with the knee. He tore his ACL. It was a bad one in Miami. It was a multiple ligament injury, but he fought hard, came back, and he hasn't been playing very well. Certainly not to the level that he was, and people thought maybe that was to do with the knee, but Mike McDonald said that this has nothing to do with the knee. He said that this is a personal thing, and he also said that he does not believe there is any chance that he unretires. He said this is permanent, that he's going to respect his wishes, and they said that he's, quote, going through some things. So, you know, he was a nice player. Not the player that he was before the knee, but you got to wonder if this happened in the middle of the season to the point where he's having to take time off and has now decided to permanently retire, who knows what issues he's going through, but you wonder that probably had a bigger impact on his play because he has not been good than the knee. We all assumed he just wasn't right with the knee, but obviously something else is going on. So, you know, you wish him all the best. He played 6 years, so obviously he made a little money. He was a second-round pick out of Texas, and you just hope that whatever he's going through, he can figure out.
Well, Seahawks have had kind of a rough go of it here.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked the McDonald?
Yeah.
McDonald hire. And then I thought they got kind of screwed by the scheduling czars. Would they have like three games in
like 13 or 12 days, something like that,
which was brutal. Yeah. But they really seem to have not recovered from that.
No. And the offensive line.
Yeah, it's been real bad. Now their center retires.
God. And he hasn't been very good. The right tackle. Look, outside of Charles Cross, who is a really good left tackle. And you know me, I like the Seahawks. I thought Seattle was going to be a 10-win team. I thought this was a playoff team. And I really like Geno Smith. I still like Geno Smith. I think he should be your quarterback going forward. I think he's a poor man's Matthew Stafford. Outside of Charles Cross, this may be the worst offensive line in the NFL. And you know, Abe Lucas, we'll see if that makes a difference. You would hope it would. But when you have a quarterback that really is a pocket guy and needs play action, he's not able to overcome this O-line. And then the other disappointing part, too, is just the defense. I really thought that bringing in McDonald would make a monster difference, and it hasn't. I mean, my God, you got rid of both of your starting linebackers that you brought in free agency to be your starting linebackers. They're both gone. One traded and one just cut. So this has not been
weird.
Yeah, this has not been the transition that we thought. And Devin Weatherspoon, who was this huge impact rookie for you, and when you look at his metrics, he's still having a nice year. But you would think that a guy like Mike McDonald was going to unlock him and really kind of like allow him to make more big plays. He's just been a solid defender, but really hasn't made any sort of impact. So it's to say that this has been a disappointing year as someone that thought Seattle was going to be better, I'm not going to say it's the biggest disappointment in the NFL, and I'm not saying that like I'm writing them off and saying that they can't get this on the right track, but in a very, very winnable division, and to be 4-5 at this point and still kind of slugging through some things and be 2-4 at home, they are one of the bigger disappointments in the NFL.
They've lost 5 of 6.
Yeah, it's not good.
And then the one win was at Atlanta, and they looked great.
Yeah. Well, and that goes back to the one thing that Atlanta doesn't do, and I get a lot of, like, Geno Smith sucks. He does not. He just – this is a – again, Stafford, if you want to go with a golf, they need to play in structure, and they need to play behind an O-line. And they're just not capable of – from an offensive standpoint and from a quarterback standpoint, to overcome bad O-line play. It's really hard to do. And the one thing that Atlanta doesn't do, Atlanta has one of the worst pass rushes, period, end of story, in the NFL. So when you can't get after Geno Smith, dude, he will slice and dice you. But if you play a team that can heat you up a little bit and there's no threat to do anything else, Seattle's offense ends up looking very, very average. And so I think that's why that Atlanta game was kind of the shining light in that. And if they could just protect even to an average level, I really think there's some good aspects of the Seattle offense to like, but they just can't overcome the bad play up front.
Falcons also had 3 turnovers in that game. That helped. Yeah. But now they go to play San Francisco. That's no good. I don't know which team is going to try to blow it more. The Niners or the Seahawks?
Well, and now McCaffrey back, you would assume that they're going to start kind of focusing in.
Bosa is hurt.
Kittle's questionable.
Bosa's questionable. Yeah. Kittle's questionable. And then Trent Williams is questionable, too.
Yeah.
Three of their best players.
It's two big ones because you're in San Francisco and then you got Arizona. And Arizona right now is starting to look pretty good. And you know what Arizona does real well right now is run the ball. And that would scare the hell out of
their
me.
Their schedule's rough.
It's tough.
I mean, Niners, Cards, and then they get to play the Jets. It's in New York. Should win.
Yep.
But it's a road game. And then at Arizona, so they got Arizona in 2 of the next 4. And then they finish with Green Bay, Minnesota. They play the Bears, who are a mess, and then the Rams, and that's it.
And the Rams may be playing for something. We'll see. I honestly think the Rams and Seattle both are pretty big disappointments. And the Rams have just been devastated by injury. Seattle a little bit. It's just I thought both of those teams would be a little bit better. And there's Arizona sitting there at 6-4. I mean, it is a very winnable division, and there's wild cards to be had if you just kind of pull your head out. I'm just at this point, I do not think, if I'm looking into the crystal ball, I do not think Seattle is a playoff team at this point. I don't know how they get it.
It's not all McDonald's fault. Some of it, you know, you got to get better offensive linemen in there.
Yeah. You know, and
what's that guy's name? John Schneider.
Yes.
The offense was ripping.
Figure it out.
It's not good. I mean, them and the Bears. And look, there's just, it takes a really special quarterback or it takes a really good coordinator to mask battle line play. And right now, Seattle doesn't have the type of quarterback, even though I think he's very good. And so far, they have not had a scheme to work around it. Whereas you look at like Washington came into this season. Most people had, including Pro Football Focus, they had the Washington offensive line as the worst in the NFL, and they've done a really, really nice job of mitigating a bad O-line. Sean Payton makes his O-line really, really good or makes up for deficiencies because of scheme. Seattle does not. In fact, I think Seattle kind of does the opposite at times, and And that's disappointing. Mm-hmm. You got a first-year coordinator, never been in the NFL before, and then you didn't go out. And like when your big addition was Connor Williams, and then he retires in the middle of the damn year and hasn't been playing well anyways, and you know, that's not good. And both of your right tackles have been in and out, you know, between Abe Lucas and Fant, and both of your guards have just been...
So, Connor Williams, starting center, Seahawks.
I just hope he...
retires.
I hope he... You know, whatever he's going through.
Personal reasons.
Yeah, I hope he figures it out.
They're keeping it private. So the fifth round pick last year, Oluwatimi, is that his name?
Yeah, the kid out of Michigan.
He's sliding in there.
So we'll
see. He'll be good.
You got to figure something out. Can he play guard and tackle? sometimes you're playing poker and you just throw all your cards and you're like, it's like a bad move. You're like, you're just playing five card. You're like, I'm going to keep one. That's the Seattle offensive line right now. If they were dealing cards.
Draw four, please.
Yeah, you're drawing four. You're only keeping one. Charles, you can stay, the rest of you clowns.
I need a new hand.
Just give me four new cards and it can't be any worse than what I've been
I'll keep dealt. My face card and I need all new ones.
Yes.
All right, next, the ways we're already paying for college athletes on The Fan. All right. Football Friday coming up, Oregon, Wisconsin. How worried should we be? Joe Harrington a little bit later. Also, NIL is leading to an unlikely career for some student athletes. Or I shouldn't call them student athletes, just athletes. So we'll get to that. I was reading an article in the Las Vegas Sun, because I read the Las Vegas Sun.
Well, that's the award-winning show prep.
You do love Vegas.
Yeah, I do. I actually do like Vegas news. And the Vegas Sun... I think what it is about Vegas news is they always it comes with flair.
Well, it is Las Vegas. Is there anybody that does flair better than Las Vegas?
No, they're great at it.
Liberace's dead, so I give you Las Vegas.
So they were talking about how we're already paying for college athletes. You know, I saw this Washington State quarterback who's been playing well. He already has $1 million offer mm-hmm. from another school. Nobody knows who it is, or maybe some people do. I don't know. But he's got $1 million offer on the table, and it's not even, I mean, he still plays at Washington State, and he's not in the portal.
Oh, so he's,
they just want him to jump into the portal. Like, hey.
Yeah, he's ruminating.
You want $1 million?
Well, I read yesterday the LSU has a 5-star QB commit, and Michigan rolled out a 4-year $10.5 million offer to him.
Whoa.
And it sounds like he was going to take it. And then, shocking,
Georgia.
Something changed his mind and he's staying at LSU.
Oh.
He's not saying what changed. My guess is the NIL offer. But yeah, Michigan straight offered a high school kid.
5-star kid?
I guess he's like
quarterback.
Yeah, he's the guy, right? Like number one, whatever, you know, depending on what ranking you're looking at. But yeah, 5-star quarterback in Michigan who needs a quarterback desperately, basically just said, hey, you want to start here next year? Oh, and by the way, now it's not 10.5 up front, right? They'll pay it per year, but $10.5 million. If that guy stayed in college, he would never have to work again a day in his life, even if he ended up being a bust.
That's crazy.
$10.5 million.
Well, I like that for one, it's free market, right?
Sure.
Right. Whatever. Two, I think it keeps kids in college longer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, not all of them, but...
Well, we've seen it. There's been, since NIL, and it's only been a very small sample here, but we've had about a 30% reduction in early entries.
That's great.
Into the NFL draft.
Yeah.
And so it does make the college game better.
Because what they're doing is they're staying in college to just make money because they know they wouldn't make anything in the NFL.
Well, and you're going to see...
And Caitlin Clark is like an interesting example. It's like there were a lot of people saying, hey, you know what, Caitlin Clark... I know the WNBA is the next step, and she's going to play in the WNBA, but why not go back to Iowa?
You probably make more money.
If you have eligibility, you make more money there.
Yeah, because you're not making any money in the WNBA. You're making money on sponsorships.
Exactly.
You can do that in college. And for some players, Dylan Gabriel did not project to be a big NFL player. And maybe like Bo Nix, maybe he'll be a climber. We'll see what happens. But he is usually not listed amongst the big, you know, the Shedeur Sanderses of the world. So for a guy like Dylan Gabriel, or I'm trying to think of another college quarterback who was Sam Hartman. There's another good one, right? Sam Hartman.
Yeah.
You will probably make more money. Who's the kid out of Utah? Cam Rising, right? Cam Rising will never play in the NFL, but Cam Rising has made several millions staying in college. So it's nice that guys like this, think about what Tim Tebow would have made. sticking around in Florida. You know, the NFL isn't for everybody. It's very hard. And it sucks that these kids for the longest time were great college players and never were able to capitalize on it. And now whether you go on and play in the NFL or not, from Gabriel to Tebow to Rising to all these guys, you're going to be able to walk away from this game with maybe not enough to never do anything again, but certainly a big nest egg, a chance to really set yourself up for a great life, or at least a start of it, maybe a business or, you know, buy a house. And I don't understand how anyone could think that that's a negative thing.
No, it's just going to hurt the fans. I mean, it's going to change the fan base. I was just reading in the story, they said $180 to go to a college football game compared to $340 for the NFL. And they think that that gap is going to close now, because colleges, with the settlement and NIL money, they're going to have to actually come up with real bottom line marketing. Whereas before, they used to just rely on your passion for a school or your tie to the school and get donations. But there's real donor fatigue right now, especially because of all the NIL money. So, you know, that settlement's coming next year, where they're going to have to come up with an extra, whatever, $20-22 million each year. And
on top of NIL.
It's interesting to note the ways that they're doing that around the country, and everybody's doing it a little bit differently. But Clemson, for example, put $150 athletic fee into their onto their tuition bills. Yeah. That is per semester, which, you know, I mean, if I'm going to school there, that's stomachable.
Yeah.
$150 per semester. I mean, I don't know when you were in school, but I remember seeing the, you know, the breakdown of all the costs and stuff.
Mine was all, obviously. Oh, mine was all taken care of.
But so. I'm telling you, there's a million things on there. And so $150, like, oh, all right. Yeah. And they say that will get about $7 or $8 million per year. Arkansas is going 3% increase on concessions, which... I mean, if I'm buying beers, you're paying for it, but I don't feel that too bad.
This is how, like, NFL teams pay for, like, cities pay for stadiums and stuff. They hit you with, like, small taxes here and there.
Yeah, Tennessee, they made headlines because their AD came out and said they were doing a 10% talent fee.
Yeah.
10%'s quite a bit.
Well, and Oregon said they are not doing a talent fee, but they are raising ticket prices, which... Can we the weird part about
this? Well, everybody's going to raise ticket prices,
and that's my thing. Like, Oregon can sit here, and
whether you call it a talent fee or not,
that's
the price is going up, and you're peeling off more money for this. So
yeah, you can. I don't.
You can call a cow a chicken, but you're still getting more food.
Thank you. That's beautifully put. So I just always laugh a little bit when they were like, "Hey, there is no talent fees here," and then they said in their statement, "You're getting a tremendous value in your ticket, and so therefore we have to raise it."
Which, by the way, I think the Ohio State was probably tremendous value.
Yeah, there is.
And I think going to Ducks games is amazing, but it's not like all the other opponents this year were, like, tremendously valuable.
Would you rather them kind of slice it like all these little paper cuts, or would you rather someone just come out and be like, look, man, stuff's going up by 15%.
This is the new cost of
because
everything.
This is the cost of doing business, and if you want to win, which would you prefer as a student or as a fan? I don't know. Is it better to kind of be lied to and just kind of, not lied to, but just... Hey, we're just going to a little here, a little there, or just tell me up front what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, college football used to be pretty affordable as a fan.
Still, it's for students, right?
Well, that's where I'm thinking that if you go the tuition route, you stick it on the student bills. I don't know. I think that's the best way to go about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to raise money somehow.
Yeah.
You know, Michigan, I don't know if we talked about this when Oregon went to Michigan. You know, Michigan has no advertising in their stadium.
Really?
Did you know that?
No, that's going to change.
And I asked RJ, who was there, I said, is that true? There's no, and he showed me pictures of, you know, the whole, you know, the panoramic pictures and everything. There is not one ad in that stadium.
Yeah, well, wow.
That's changing.
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't know what it's going to mean for college football fandom, but it's going to be more expensive. It's going to just swap out. Some people can't afford it anymore, and it's going to swap out for fans with deeper pockets.
I'm guessing we're going to start seeing stadiums and now with corporate advertisements. Certainly there's going to be the official sponsor of every team. Michigan State's already done, or Michigan's done this, or was it Michigan State that did the, it was Michigan State, right? Their basketball team was sponsored by, like, Rocket Loans or something. So anytime you refer to the Michigan State basketball team, it was the Rocket Loans presents the Michigan State basketball team. You're going to have to get creative. And I think the lesser school, and lesser, that's a poor term, sorry. Like, It's the teams without the biggest budgets. They're going to have to get more creative. I mean, the Big 12 is already talking about selling the entire conference, right? The naming rights and everything. It'd be like the Dr. Yeah. Pepper Big 12.
Yeah.
This is just the way it is. And we saw Major League Baseball this year. Remember, was it Strauss? Some German workwear company literally bought the postseason batting helmets yeah. of every Major League Baseball.
No one knew what
team.
The hell it was, but it was important to them.
Yeah. And every uniform now has a patch on it. So Michigan may not have any advertisement in their stadium. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a patch coming to that jersey real, real quick. Because they just offered a high school kid $10.5 million for one kid. On top of all the other stuff that they're having to pay for, yeah, that's gonna change.
But colleges were just shockingly behind on maximizing revenue.
Yes,
because they just relied on an old model.
And here's the other thing: I know that they will never do this, but don't most of these big schools have endowments that they will never go through?
Like, I don't think they can.
Yeah, I don't think
that's public. It's a
even if it serves to like make you more on the back end.
I think there's some weird.
It's kind of like being in a trust or something. You can't touch.
Yeah, I don't think they can dip.
They're earmarked,
and it's not happening.
It's a different. Right. That's a different ball game.
Someone is saying, yeah, UW tonight, they're playing and they're doing World of Warcraft.
This thing is ridiculous. Yeah.
What is that?
They're playing tonight. They're playing Friday night.
Yeah. Your UCLA Bruins.
Yes.
The Red Hot Bruins.
And I told you the Bruins are going to get them or they're going to get USC. And so UW's doing a blackout and all black uniforms, and they're doing a whole...
An entire World of Warcraft theme night that is promoted by UW, like this cross-marketing with this whole gamerverse that, frankly, I don't think has a lot of crossover with football, but I guess is going to give them something. I don't know.
I don't know what they paid, but I'm guessing the World of Warcraft people, which is a huge game, I'm guessing they wrote a big fat check, so... Pretty soon, Call of Duty Black Ops there will be an Oregon Duck game where they wear all black uniforms, and it will be the Call of Duty Black Ops Friday night game for Oregon.
Yeah.
And Penn State's going to do a whiteout, and that's going to be brought to you by NCAA football, EA Sports. I mean, you're just going to have to get creative, because I do think there is going to, in the near future, there is really going to start to hit some donor fatigue. Every year you have to come up with, to be competitive, somewhere between $12 and $20 million in NIL money. And I think it's one thing if you're Georgia and you're Bama or you're Oregon and Ohio State and you're telling them, hey, we're in the national title race right now, right? Kick in. I think it's a lot harder to go to a program that isn't in any sort of title contention and say, hey, we need you to get me $15 million so that we can, in 3 or 4 years, be somewhere near those other schools. I just think that is going to be a real, real tough ask. And supposedly up at UW, they're having donor problems. They do not have their NIL in order. And you know who else doesn't? USC.
Yep. Really?
They had two more big recruits flip last weekend and go other places. And they're saying that USC does not have they're not doing well. And two, they do not have their NIL in order. And you would think Los Angeles and all the money around there, you think they'd be swimming in it.
What is their problem down there?
Yeah.
On the flip side of things, someone brings this up in the YouTube chat, and it's true. I guess Barstool president Dave Portnoy, he's a big Michigan guy, and he was very frustrated with their quarterback play after just having been to the national title. And he just said, I will pony up $3 million for the best quarterback. I don't care who it is. Like, I that's what I want to do. Yeah. So $3 million of that going into the 10.5 for that kid, that's his.
Well, he has to make it public, because that's what he does.
Of course.
But that happens everywhere.
Everywhere. And that's what's going to be.
Someone at LSU.
People who care enough about their teams are just going to start.
Someone at LSU.
Forking it out.
Got wind of that and was like, dude, this kid's going to flip. And they're like, we need to cut. And someone came up with the money because he's staying.
There's a couple guys at Oregon that may be doing the same thing. They just don't post it all over.
For sure.
Twitter.
I mean, look at the Arkansas, the Tyson Chicken dudes that just went out and got Calipari.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just like, this is what we're like. We have a lot of money and this is what we want.
All you need to know is SMU went to the ACC and said, if you get us into your conference, and by the way, they may end up in the College Football Playoff this year. They went to the ACC and said, we do not need a dime of TV money for the next 10 years. They are literally going to be writing a check over the next 10 years for $200 million. And they laughed and was like, that's no problem. This is where college football's at. And if they make the playoff this year, every one of those rich bastards is going to sit around and laugh and be like, that only cost us $30 million. They have to pay $30 million a year in TV right money to SMU. And they're going to laugh and be like, that's all it cost to get us into the football playoff was $30 million? I found that in my couch cushions. But not everyone is SMU.
No, they are not. No. Up next, NIL is leading to a very unlikely career for athletes. It's kind of an interesting pipeline that's happening. We'll tell you about that when we return on The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.